Hey, everybody. My name's Dane.
And I'm Jimmy.
And our podcast is called Bubbling Questions.
We do would-you-rathers from listeners and a Twitter bot.
Along with one-person game shows using ridiculous stuff we find on the internet.
Like, what kind of dick are we talking?
I shall not tell you.
Okay. All from our very real hot tub.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Very real. Not a gimmick at all. Find Bubbling Questions wherever you get podcasts.
And I'm Jimmy.
Escapist Comics Podcast. I'm Jessica Balboni.
And I'm Jesse Hitt.
And today is Saturday, February 16th, 2019. Mm-hmm. It's a couple days after Valentine's Day.
Yeah, the most romantic day of the year.
Yeah. Is it, though?
Actually, it's just a made-up holiday, dude. It's me, the woke truth teller.
Ooh, the woke truth teller.
It's a Hallmark holiday, dude. It's bullshit.
Total bullshit. You should just celebrate Galentine's Day.
Yeah.
Like I didn't. And what it... I don't know. What did you do, Jesse, for Valentine's Day?
Went out to dinner.
You went out to dinner? Like, oh, that's nice.
Yeah. And they had a special Valentine's Day menu, and we were like, no, thanks. We'll just get the regular stuff that we like.
I don't want the overpriced $200
steak
and clams. I don't know.
Yeah.
I worked on Valentine's Day.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. It was lots of single people coming in and drinking their sorrows away.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I helped them out by putting lots of horror movies on.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so they could just watch people get murdered all night.
Yeah. There's like Valentine's-themed horror movies, right? There's Valentine's Day Massacre. No, that was
actually a massacre.
When they shot all those guys.
Where they killed people.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I could have showed that.
There's got to be a movie based on that, right?
I'm pretty sure there is. But there is a movie called Valentine with David Boreanaz.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, the vampire from Buffy the Vampire Slayer, nice guy, Angel, right?
Angel.
Cool vampire.
Yeah, he plays the murderer in that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. With a big twist at the end, actually. Sorry, spoiler alert.
If
you haven't seen it, he's the murderer. There's also My Bloody Valentine.
Yeah.
There's two of them, one from 1973 and one from 2009.
All right.
You can only watch the one from 2009 on Netflix right now.
Oh, really?
But you can watch that. We watched that.
Cool.
Yeah. It has Jensen Ackles in it from Supernatural.
Oh, I only watched the first season of that show.
He's so hot.
Because I like the car a lot.
You like the car?
Yeah, that sweet 65 Impala.
Hell yeah.
That was dope.
He's going to be at Emerald City Comic Con.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to go take a picture with him.
Nice.
Yeah. Maybe touch his abs.
Yeah. That's okay to do, right?
I don't know. I'm going to ask. I've never taken any pictures with anybody except Spike from Buffy.
Yeah.
And I think I have a weird fascination with CW stars.
Oh, wow.
Because this would be the second CW star I do that to.
Wow. You're a teen at heart.
Yeah. Teen heart throbs. It's my thing. So anyways, that was my Valentine's Day.
Wow, nice.
Watching people getting murdered on TV.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
I replaced a bunch of light bulbs and shop vacs some water out of the bottom of an elevator shaft.
Ooh, that sounds sexy.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah. Did you do it in your underwear?
Very gross. No, I wore coveralls, which is the opposite of underwear.
Oh, okay, cool.
Overwear.
Yeah. Nice. No sexy comics came out really this week either.
Let's see. Not really now. No Mr. and Mrs. X.
Mm-mm.
No, what was that DC romance
one? Oh, that did come out.
Oh, did it? Okay.
Yeah, but it wasn't sexy.
Yeah, no, not much romance. Wonder Twins had sort of a romantic, the boy Wonder Twin trying to be romantic.
Oh, yeah. I was like, they weren't romantic together.
Yeah.
That would have been kind of gross.
Yeah, that would be. Although maybe on their planet, that's the custom.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
Like a Lannister type setup.
Ooh. They should do that in this comic. That'd be a good twist.
Yeah. That'd be good thing for like a humorous DC comic, throwing a little incest.
They're like, Mark Russell, we can't put this to print. He's like, I don't know why.
It's social commentary.
It is.
It's parody.
So speaking of Wonder Twins, I guess we'll just jump right into
that. Wonder Twins number one.
Wonder Twins number
one. From DC?
From DC Universe's new Wonder Comics line.
Oh, what is that?
That's the same thing that Naomi came from.
Oh, okay.
It's their like new teen line.
Okay.
Supposedly.
Wow, cool.
Yeah.
I was very pleasantly surprised by this book.
Yeah. So this is rated T for teen, not T plus like Naomi was, which we totally disagreed with them
right,
on.
Right. Yeah. There's no reason for it to be plus.
I actually think this might be a little more T plus than Naomi.
Yeah. There's more horny talk in
there's
that one.
Definitely more horny talk in this one.
Yeah.
But it's like light horny talk.
That's true.
But definitely more.
They do specifically mention bodily fluids.
Yeah.
Which I think, you could probably get away with in like a PG-13 movie.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's something that would be, that specific term would be something that like wouldn't maybe make it into like a network TV primetime sitcom, you know?
Right, yeah.
Which is kind of how this book read to me. Like it read like a sitcom in like a good way. Like it was a fun first episode, like self-contained first issue. They didn't like leave on a cliffhanger or anything.
No.
It came to a nice conclusion at the end of the first issue.
Yeah, it's like a 30-minute episode like of Friends.
Yeah, which I thought was kind of cool.
Yeah.
And, like, there's not a lot of books like that on the shelf right now. Everybody's kind of writing, it seems like, at least with an eye towards putting it out in trade eventually. So they're all like these neat 4-issue arcs, and the first issue leaves you hanging, the second issue leaves you hanging a little more, third issue starts to wrap it up a little bit, and the fourth issue then wraps it up almost completely, but leaves it open-ended for the next arc.
Yeah.
And this one was just like, hey, here's the first issue. Yeah. This is something that happened.
And then now I can't even remember if I've ordered a second issue of this.
Hmm.
So hopefully there's more of this.
Yeah.
I really liked it.
Could they be doing a thing where they put out the first one and then wait and see how sales are?
It
see
could
if they're
be.
Make a second?
They did cancel Mark Russell's other book.
Yeah.
That's coming. That was supposed to be, actually ordered it, and then literally not a week later, it was completely canceled.
Ugh.
So maybe they're just like, hey, Mark Russell, let's see how you do.
Yeah.
But he's so funny. Like, Prez was so good.
Yeah.
And
did he do the Jetsons, or was that still...
No, he did Flintstones.
Okay, Flintstones. Yeah. Flintstones was awesome.
And they seemed to do pretty well with that. I mean, it went 12 issues and 2 books, and that's still selling, actually, as well.
Yeah, which for a concept that, you know, could have gone either way, it could have been really bad, like updating the Flintstones and making it sort of adding in social commentary.
Right.
Like, man, that could have been a real disaster, but it was good.
Yeah, and he's really good at adding that social commentary. There is some of that in this as
well. Yeah, absolutely.
This Archie-looking guy in the beginning.
Yeah.
He definitely throws a lot of that in.
Yeah. And it's fun. It's like a fun DC book. We get to see the Justice League, like, joking around with each other.
Yeah.
And, like, having, like, sort of hijinks at the headquarters.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
Yeah, and I thought that was going to be stupid at first, too. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't. It wasn't too kitschy.
Yeah.
His jokes are really funny. They actually, like, laugh out loud funny, too.
Yeah.
And the Wonder Twins are so silly.
They really are.
I had no idea how this was going to play out. Like you said, there's some sexy, funny jokes in it. The Thunderlust, which is actually
that.
A real thing.
Really? That's
happens? That's what happens when thunder is their weakness.
Okay. Makes them too horny.
I think he kind of shifted that a little bit. I know Jacob knows more about the Wonder Twins than I do, I think.
Like 70s characters? They feel kind of 70s to me.
I believe they're late 60s.
Okay, late
60s.
Okay, yeah.
Which also makes sense, you know. Love time.
Late 60s haircuts. Late 60s outfits.
Yeah. They were big in the Super Friends.
Okay, era.
Yeah. They always have to unite themselves to use their powers.
Right. Yeah, they have those rings that they touch together.
Yeah.
And they mention that in the book. It's kind of fun. It's like it's one of those like self-aware, like kind of breaking the fourth wall.
Yeah.
A little. Not, I guess not breaking the fourth wall because they don't address the reader directly.
Right.
But they do say like, hey, isn't this silly, the thing that we're doing?
Yeah. Breaking the third wall.
Sure.
Is that a thing? A third wall?
Well, then you would just have two walls. It would be kind of a corner, I guess.
Is it a triangular
wall?
It
could be on either side.
The
like
isosceles wall?
Yeah.
Like
you
a sandwich.
Break the third wall. I guess if they addressing another character that's in the thing, but not in that particular scene, maybe?
Would
that
smart.
Be? Yeah.
Yeah, that's a thing.
I don't think it's not a real term, but it could be.
Well, making it a term today.
Technically anything
we're literary
could be a term.
Geniuses.
Yeah, you can make up whatever you want.
That's
so everybody's always like, man, you know, Shakespeare, he just like would make up words. I'm like, yeah, so do like children. Like, so I make up words all the time. Where's my medal?
We're breaking the mold here on Escapist Comics podcast, the third wall. I like that. One of my favorite parts was the computer that they go back to. It's like, that was a big thing in Super Friends. Was
that
the
is
supercomputer,
fun.
And now it's like a big emoji face.
Yeah, and they mentioned that like they used to use the supercomputer a lot, but now that everybody has cell phones, they mostly just use it for music.
Yeah.
So it's like basically your home desktop.
Yeah, it's like their iPod.
Yeah, yeah.
Their giant iPod, and it just wants them to play Philip Glass.
Yeah, he has a big smiley face like the Teletubbies' son.
It was really cute. And the big bad guy in this is also is Mr. Mixleplick.
Yeah, another silly character.
Another really silly character, yeah. So yeah, this is like a really good book, I would say, for like 13 and up probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe 12 too, depending on your level of comfortability.
Yeah, so like a middle school student.
Yeah, yeah.
Perfect.
Because some kids, the jokes would like fly right over their head too.
Yep.
But it's silly enough if you're looking for something that's like a, you know, I don't want to give my kids Captain Underpants anymore, but, yeah. You know, here's Wonder Twins.
Yeah.
It's still up their alley, probably.
A little more nuanced, a little more interesting.
Yeah. They make fun of Superman and Batman, which I always like. Make fun of their relationship.
Yeah.
And they get it beat up on, too. And they, like, kind of trick Mr. Mixaplick as well.
Yeah.
Too, because they are kind of smart.
And it's, like, kind of a fish out of water story, too, because the backstory is that they were sort of... not expelled from their home planet, but their dad asked Superman to please take them off their home planet because there was some kind of incident. We don't know what.
Yeah.
Yet. And they like arrive on Earth and they're like the new kids in school. So it's kind of that.
Yeah.
And like, you know, adjusting to high school and trying to find your identity. And there's some fun flashback scenes of both Bruce Wayne and Clark Kent when they were high school students.
Yeah. 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 Because both of them are kind of outcasts as well. Too.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe they'll learn some lessons from them.
Yeah.
Wonder Twins number one, highly recommended by both of us.
Yeah, definitely. Two thumbs up, man. And I hope they use this to bring in some of like the more absurd DC characters. Like,
I'd
like to see Herbie make an appearance in here.
Herbie!
I've been thinking about Herbie a lot. I've been thinking it would be funny to do a reboot of Herbie where he's like a men's rights guy, because he would be. And like sort of the gag in the original Herbie was that everyone thinks he's just like a dumb piece of shit, but he can actually fly and stuff.
Yeah, he's actually a superhero. But
yeah, I think it would be funny if they flipped it and like everyone's perception of him is accurate, but in his own mind, he's like this like brilliant. He's like a Fedora Logic guy, like a Fedora Logic internet men's rights dude.
He's a peacock.
Yeah, and everybody just hates him and he sucks. It's like just a completely unsympathetic main character.
And he has diabetes from eating all those lollipops.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. But maybe he blames society for it. He says it's like feminists gave me diabetes or something. That'd be great.
That would be awesome. You should write it and submit it to Dark Horse.
Maybe I will.
I bet he's still a Dark Horse character.
Is that where he ended up eventually?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Huh.
They put out his anthology like a few years ago.
Really?
He said he was the funniest character ever.
Well, I don't know about that.
Ever created. I was like, have you read those comics, Dark Horse? I don't know where this is coming from.
Yeah, it's that weird 60s humor that like doesn't really translate to now.
No. He's... Yeah, I don't think he's going to work out in the Me Too era.
Yeah, not at all. Herbie sucks.
I also read Next Gen.
New, is it an Age of X?
It is an Age of X.
I started reading that one because that's Ed Brisson wrote it, right?
Yeah.
And I didn't finish the first issue.
Yeah.
Not because I didn't like it. I just got distracted by something.
So this is pretty good. I like this one because it deals with like the younger X-Men. Mm-hmm. There's some weird shit going on in this Age of X. This one has Glob in it, who I really like from the Grant Morrison.
Yeah, me too.
Series, New X-Men.
What are Glob's powers? He's like a sort of a pink bubblegum looking blob, and you can see his skeleton and eyeballs.
Yeah, he has like weird pyrotechnic powers too.
Okay, sweet.
Things just like bounce off of him.
Okay,
too.
That makes sense. Yeah,
obviously, because he's a big blob.
Yeah,
of goo.
And you can see his skeleton, but no internal organs.
No. Yeah, you can't see anything else.
Which is good. I mean, I don't want to see that. Gross.
I don't know where the fire comes from in him, though.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, so this is like the younger class in next generation. Mm-hmm. And then we have like Pixie and a couple other of the younger X-Men. And Glob is kind of getting like picked on in class and stuff. And... again, it's like really hinting at like some nefarious like plot that's going on.
Yep.
And they also give you like more background into what's going on in the Age of X, and there's some kind of like resolution that has happened. And like you also find out that some X-Men have died, like Hope Summers has died.
So Hope's dead.
Yeah, Hope's dead.
Cyclops is back, right?
Cyclops is back, right.
Young Cable is there,
yes.
Traveling through time.
Mm-hmm. And then there's also some new X-Men, like there's like this big shark X-Men.
Yeah, Shark Girl, right?
Shark Girl, like yeah, literally Shark Girl.
From the movies. from the Lava Boy and Shark Girl.
Yeah. That's her.
I guess. I mean, she looks a lot more shark like. Or for that, do you remember that Saturday morning cartoon, Tiger Sharks?
Oh my God.
Where they would get in.
Were
like
they like rap sharks?
No, that's street sharks where they're rollerblading and stuff.
That's what they look like.
This is an earlier one where they're people and they live in like an underwater research base. And
oh,
then they
I
get,
remember that one. Yeah,
yeah they get
yeah,
into
yeah.
like the chamber and it floods with the special yeah. water and they grow gills. And their beagle turns into like a seal dog.
Beagle.
That show ruled.
No, they had a lot of shark shows back then. Yeah. And there were street sharks and they rapped.
Yeah, those
that
were
one
both
was
like
weird.
In the.
Very muscly.
They did the thing where it was like they would put those on super early in the morning.
Yeah.
So I'd only watch them occasionally.
Yeah, because you didn't want to get up that early.
Right, yeah. I'm not getting up at 5:30 to watch cartoons. Unless I accidentally wake up at 5:30, in which case I'm definitely watching cartoons.
Because there's nothing else to do.
Yeah, make my mom get up and turn on the TV.
Then there's also, and they were not very creative with these names, a lizard boy called a gnoll, which is like a little, you know, chameleon lizard.
Oh,
those
that's
Rex, those
are
those
is.
Really
okay.
tiny ones that die really fast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's why they only cost $10 at the lizard store.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you
the
just
lizard
buy, like,
store. You know.
You know, the lizard store. You just buy like a crate of them.
It is weird that there are pet stores, like
yeah.
a place where you just go buy a small animal.
The Anole ones were the worst because there's like 20,000 of those little lizards.
Ooh,
and they're
yeah.
all like jumping around in there. You're like, yeah. I want that one. And there's like 50 of them right there.
Yeah.
And they're all, ugh. I'm sorry. It's like disgusting. Anyways, that's his name. He looks like he has an artichoke on his head.
Yeah.
We don't know what his powers are. Besides
yeah.
probably changing color.
They
I'm
didn't
guessing.
Really get into people's powers in this,
no,
this first issue that
they
much.
Really
there's
didn't.
A lot of exposition.
Ugh. Anyways, there's also Psylocke there. She's one of like the I think she's kind of a bad guy actually. She's one of like the police of this
right.
new nation.
Well, yeah, because they say at the beginning that this is it's at a version of like the Charles Xavier School, but
mm-hmm,
I think it's called
mm-hmm.
something else in this maybe.
It is, yeah.
And they
Department X. She's in part of Department X. That's
yeah,
what she is.
And they
yeah.
like recruit all the young mutants or like sort of draft them basically.
Exactly.
And there
yeah.
are like three different tracks you can go on. And it's like a 10-year program,
mm-hmm.
and one of them's law enforcement, one of them's like public policy.
Yes.
There's I don't remember what the other ones are, but
yeah. Yeah, so basically, like I said, there's some kind of like weird plot going on.
Mm-hmm.
They eventually like come across this like fire that's happening. The Pixie and whatever the other black haired X-Men that we don't know. It's another like new one.
Yeah.
Tell them all to the students to like wait there. Of course they don't. They all follow them.
Yeah.
It turns out they're like the police X-Men are arresting a bunch of the students
mm-hmm.
that have come there and there's a building on fire.
Ooh, a little arson maybe?
Yeah, a little arson. But the teachers that were there, they're like civil management. That's one of the
okay.
That's the other place, I guess. And the Blob is there, and he's part of the police force.
Oh, man. Oh,
yeah.
Blob.
I know.
Blob's turned into a narc?
He's a narc.
That sucks. I
yeah.
like Blob.
So he just asks them to, like, keep the crowd back while he's arresting, like, the students that
yeah.
are there. And that's when that Noel, like, pops up.
Hmm.
And tells them, like, you never saw me here.
Hmm.
Like, don't
okay.
tell anybody. And he, like, runs away into, like, the bushes.
So
and then
shaping up to be like sort of like a mystery.
Yeah,
story.
It's
oh,
really like the mystery part of the series. And it was
nice.
Really interesting, actually. And I actually got really involved. I was like, ooh, what's happening?
Yeah, I think that's what Ed Brisson is best at as a
yeah.
writer. Like, his, like,
and that's
crime
what it felt like.
And mystery stuff is great.
Yeah.
Some of his superhero stuff is kind of so-so.
Yeah.
But yeah, when this is his wheelhouse right
yeah.
here.
Yeah. And then like the X-Men show up, like
yeah.
the actual X-Men of this world, I guess
mm-hmm.
I should say. And they say they're going to have the situation under control,
mm-hmm.
you know, don't worry, like, we're here,
yeah.
you know.
It seems like a regular house fire. The
yeah.
X-Men might be overkill for
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, just call the fire department.
Right, and that's kind of what the teachers think,
yeah, they
too.
Also might be unequipped to handle that. Like, what's, I guess Jean Grey could use her psychic
and
powers
Storm
to
contain
the
problem. And Storm is there.
She's like,
well,
oh, Storm
I'll just
put just
it out.
Make it rain.
Like,
okay,
blow
yeah.
it out. She's going to make it rain.
Yeah, sweet.
And then it gets like really creepy. So the civil management girl and Glob go and like hang out and they're like, oh, that was really intense. And they're just like,
yeah.
kind of talking about it. And then she tells Glob that, you know, she saw a Noel there and he was really scared. She thinks something's going on.
Hmm.
And then Glob lights his hands on fire and he's like, oh, sorry, Hisako.
Ooh.
Like, this is what I'm going to have to do to you now.
Whoa.
You know, basically. Yeah, it turns out he's actually
bad guy
part
Glon?
Of the... Yeah.
Okay.
He's part of the bad guys,
well,
we think.
Yeah, never trust a cop.
Nope. It gets all creepy at the end.
Yeah, cool.
So, yeah, it is. It's totally turning out to be like a mystery series.
I mean, it's good, but I can't figure out what they're doing with this Age of X stuff.
I have no idea either.
Like, it's a parallel universe X-Men.
Yeah, I guess so.
But in the main one, like, young Cable is jumping back and forth between all the different alternate universes and timelines trying
and he's
to set stuff
and
right.
And he's in this one, too?
I don't know. Is he?
I haven't seen him yet. I thought you saw it.
No, I wouldn't be surprised, okay. though.
Yeah.
He could be the,
I think
that could be like
he's
the common
gonna
thread.
Have to, because they're going to have to connect these somehow, right?
Right, yeah.
Because otherwise
yeah.
this is just bullshit and it means nothing. Which, I mean, could totally happen.
Yeah, sure. It's all made up anyway. So
it's
even
all made
if it
up.
Turns out to be its own completely self-contained story that has no bearing on anything in the larger Marvel universe, that's fine.
That's fine.
I'm okay with that.
Who cares? But I like this story, though. At least it was fun, and I'm glad that I'm able to read one X-Men book, even though if it means nothing.
That's fair.
Yeah. Did you read anything else this week?
I did, but nothing new. I, like, blew my whole budget on a couple trades that came out. They re-released the Scud the Disposable Assassin as edition, so I got that.
Uh-huh.
Miracle Man, the complete 12-issue trade came out this week.
Oh, Mr. Miracle?
Mr. Miracle. There you go. Yeah, sorry.
I did the same thing.
I get those two guys mixed up. And got caught up on Murder Falcon this week, which might be my favorite book of 2018.
Nice.
Coming into 2019. It just keeps getting better and better.
Got sweet covers this week, too.
Oh, it really does. All the covers are done. I've been collecting all the alternate covers because they're like covers of various metal albums.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's, yeah, that book, I can't say enough about it. It's so good.
Is that it?
No? Yeah, no. I read like half of the Scud this Assassin the other night.
I also read, I won't spoil it for everybody, but Alien 3,
ooh,
issue 4, the unproduced screenplay of William Gibson, also Johnny Christmas. Mm-hmm. Johnny Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Johnny Christmas, and Tamara Bonvillain. But this, if you guys are not reading this series, like immediately go pick up issues 1 through 3 and then issue 4, which came out this week.
Mm-hmm.
It is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also read Gideon Falls 11.
Oh, cool.
Which is still, maybe the best horror book on the shelves right now.
I haven't read any of it yet.
Oh, it's so cool.
I really want to read it. Like, we might read it for book
mystery.
Club.
Ooh, yeah, good call. Yeah, it's great.
It's a really, really good one. Yeah.
And the cover B this week is amazing. It's like a black and white. I forget who drew it, but it's so good.
Oh, it's not. He didn't draw it.
No, they've been having guest artists come in and do cover
all
B
variants,
on that.
Of course. Yeah. Nice.
There were a lot of good covers this week. Wonder Twins, number one.
The,
Dustin Nguyen
did the cover B.
That's the one I got because I'll pretty much get anything that he does.
Yeah, he's amazing.
I almost bought so many comics this week just on cover alone.
I know. Actually, the cover, I think, is this cover B for Alien? Yeah, this is cover B, but the main cover for Alien 3 is also really cool.
That's the one that I got, the one with the lady and her face is coming
off.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's man, they should have made this movie for Alien 3.
Yeah. Well, and then like you contrast like how great this comic is with the Alien 3 that they actually made.
Yeah.
Which I actually think is okay.
I don't hate Alien 3 by any means.
The thing that ruined it for me was the CGI alien, cuz like CGI had not gotten good enough yet to make it believable. So it looks like they transplanted something from like a PlayStation 1 game into this movie. And it's like, oh God, why didn't you just get a guy in a suit again?
Yeah, well, they have him in a suit at some points in the movie.
Yeah, you know, you're right.
Yeah. In Alien 4, they really did a terrible job of that, too.
Yeah.
But I really like the dog alien in Alien 3. He's cool looking
when
he's not CGI.
Yes, yeah.
But... Yeah.
But they zoom out and show like a full body shot of it like running around a corner.
No,
so it's like, it looks like somebody just drew on the film itself. This is real bad.
It is really bad.
But Charles Dutton is a great actor.
Killing Ripley.
Yeah, that was unnecessary.
At the end, it's like, and then they had to figure out a way to bring her back in Alien 4. I was like, come on.
Yeah. Oh, right. They cloned her,
They cloned her.
But then she also had the Queen Alien DNA in her.
Yeah.
Which
is so stupid.
Was that the one where Joss Whedon punched up the script? And
I
you can kind of tell because there's like a lot of like snappy dialogue.
Yeah, there's snappy Joss Whedon dialogue.
Out of place.
Yeah, it's super weird. I mean, because there's snappy dialogue in Aliens, I guess, too. But it's like, I don't know. It's not as snappy. I mean, I love Joss Whedon, but it's his weird humor is not
right
for an
fit.
Alien movie.
Yeah, it doesn't fit.
It doesn't fit. But go... get Alien 3 because it's William Gibson and it's amazing and it's super makes more sense for the next movie.
Do we know how many issues that's going to be? Is it going to be like a 12-issue series or like 60?
I think it's going to be 6.
Okay.
It definitely can't end on this one.
It feels that way. It feels like we're about halfway through.
Does it say the end on this one? No. Okay. No?
No. It can't, right.
Wait,
it's got to be at least 6.
To be continued. Okay, cool.
Maybe 4, though. I guess it could be 4 issues and then
this
it comes
is 4
out
issues.
In trade. Oh, it is?
Yes,
okay.
This
yeah,
is
for
5.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah. I was like, it's got to come out with more than this.
Yeah. Maybe 12, then.
Oh, I think that's going to be...
I'd stick with it for 12.
Yeah, I'd stick with it for 12, too. Let's take a quick break and then come back with some news.
If you enjoyed the show, tell a friend and rate and review on iTunes or Stitcher.
Or come visit us at the store at Escapist Comics. We're located at 3090 Claremont Ave in Berkeley, California.
Or you can find us online at escapistcomics.com or on Twitter at Escapist Comics or send us an email at hello@escapistcomics.com. Put podcast in the subject line.
You can find Jesse on Twitter or Instagram at Jesse the Head.
And you can find Jessica on Twitter at Violet's Victory or on Instagram at Jessa Rossi.
And we're back.
Yeah, we did it.
We did it. Break time over.
Yeah, we watched the trailer for we basically watched the entire first episode of Doom Patrol.
Maybe the first season.
It's a 45-minute long trailer. Not that I'm complaining. It looks cool.
It does look cool. I think it could go one or two ways, though, because that could have been like just the highlights for all of the season.
Yep.
I think Cyborg looks terrible.
Yeah, so. He looks like it's just they just put a partial helmet on the actor.
Yeah.
Like, looks like an afterthought.
They didn't even, like, blend it.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I could have done a better prosthetic onto that actor.
Yeah, it looks like like something from, like, an episode of, like, Star Trek The Next Generation, but, like, one of the early ones.
Yeah.
Where, like, one of the early Borg where it was just a guy with a piece of foam on his face.
Yeah, yeah. And, they it's not blended. It's not... Even the light on it looks a little janky.
Yeah, yeah.
So, that's not good.
But
Robot Man looks
awesome.
Great.
Like, perfect.
Yeah.
Like a weird, dirty robot.
Yeah. The copper looks really cool on it.
Yep.
Brendan Fraser looks fucking terrible, though.
Yeah, which works for the character.
Yeah, that totally works.
He's supposed to be kind of a schlub.
Yeah, total schlub. But I just realized how long it's been since I've seen him in anything.
Yeah.
He's definitely been down on his luck a little bit.
Yeah, his hairline looks better than it does usually.
He got a new hairline.
Yeah, maybe they just slapped a wig on him or something.
Yeah, maybe. They did a better job blending that.
Yeah.
But yeah, everyone looks pretty cool. Looks like...
Crazy Jane.
Crazy Jane.
The lady Danny Ramirez or Danny Hernandez. I don't remember her last name, but she's from Orange is the New Black.
Yes.
Which, yeah, she was good in that. And it's cool to see her acting more.
Yeah, definitely.
She gets to play a bunch of different characters.
Yeah, 49 or something like that. yeah. And Negative Man looks really awesome, too.
Yes.
I'm really excited for
and
that.
What's the melty lady's name?
I don't remember.
Yeah, me neither. Look at us.
I know.
Comic book professionals.
Total comic book professionals.
Know the name of the melty lady from Doom Patrol.
Doom Patrol lady. But yeah, I mean, that effect looked really cool on her. So yeah, I'll definitely give it a shot on that DC Universe. I think you get like 30 days free or something.
Yeah, I'll definitely burn that free trial.
Yeah, and, burn the free trial.
Watch the entire series.
And then cancel it. I still haven't watched Titans, so maybe I'll watch an episode of that.
Yep.
And then wash my brain.
Yeah. Will Umbrella Academy be on there? Because it's a...
Umbrella Academy is...
Was it Dark Horse? Or
it's
was
Dark
that
Horse.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and that's on Netflix.
Okay,
so
right.
So we can watch,
that
now.
I've heard it's pretty good.
I've heard mixed reviews.
Yep.
Tim Goodman gave it a no-go.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, said don't even watch it at all?
Yeah, pretty
don't
much.
Don't even bother? Wow.
Yeah, said it was not good. The acting was subpar, including Ellen Page.
Huh.
Yeah, she said it was... He said she was unconvincing.
Well, I could see that she does kind of only have one mode.
Yeah, but I mean, maybe
so like Winona Ryder in that way.
Yeah, but. I think he only watched one episode though. So, and maybe the pilot was just not great.
Yeah,
it could be a binging show.
Yeah, totally. I've heard from my friends who did like it. They said it's good, but a little like heavy-handed in some places. Kind of the way that a lot of comic book adaptations are, where they lean real hard on the metaphor, and they're like,
yeah.
People don't like us just because we were born different.
Yeah.
That's no reason to outlaw somebody. Okay, guys. We
and they
get
even like say that in the middle of the show, and you're like, I swear I heard this before.
Yeah, like, oh, I get it. It's an allegory. Yeah.
And it's raining, and it's dark.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. It's going to be this show
Misfits
again.
Misfits like us got to stick together. Okay, well, that's, yeah. We get it.
And there's like a weird teacher. And yeah, it's also totally. Their best friend. Mm-hmm. And, yeah.
Sometimes you shouldn't judge people based on what they look like, I think. All right. Yes, thank you. That is a good message.
That's
good.
It's true. I totally agree with that. Yeah. But, yeah. speaking of shows and Netflix, looks like we have some casting news for Jupiter's Legacy.
Okay.
Josh Duhamel.
Right. He used to date Fergie.
He used to date Fergie, and he's also recently been seen in Taco Bell nacho fries commercials.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Those are pretty good.
They're pretty good. The nacho fries or the commercials?
They're all right. Then the Taco Bell nacho fries.
I like, the commercials have been pretty good, too.
I don't know if I've seen them.
They have gotten some pretty big stars in those commercials. I don't know what the hell they're doing that, but yeah.
Taco Bell is probably my favorite fast food chain.
It is definitely my favorite fast food.
It's between Taco Bell and Jack in the Box, I would say.
I can't.
Jack in the Box, I love the variety. I love being able to get some egg rolls and a burger.
And the taco?
And some jalapeno poppers. Although they don't call them poppers because poppers is like the gay club drug.
Is it really?
Yeah, yeah. Poppers, like amyl nitrate poppers, yeah.
Oh,
that's
I didn't know that.
Very popular in the club scene.
Oh.
And so they don't call them jalapeno poppers anymore. Although, they call, what do they call? Stuffed jalapenos.
Oh.
But then when you order them, it still comes up as poppers on your receipt. So I think that's very funny. It's very good for me.
Sweet. I like their greasy tacos that even the lettuce is soaked in oil.
And people are like, oh, that's a gross taco. And it's like, well, it's not really a taco.
No, it's also not really meat.
Yeah. Well, it's, they use a lot of like soy stuff, which is like so environmentally friendly, maybe healthier than eating a bunch of red meat. I mean, it's not healthy.
It's just filler.
Yeah.
Like could also be partially insect. They don't tell you what it is.
Taco Bell does that too. Yeah. They use a lot of textured vegetable protein.
Yeah.
As a filler for their burritos and tacos and stuff.
They'll call it beef. Jack in a Box?
They do.
I can't even say it's beef.
Oh, you're right.
It just says two tacos.
Yeah, two tacos for $1.
Yeah, thank you, Jack in a Box.
Jack in a Box also the only chain that's fully embraced the stoner demographic.
Oh, yeah.
By introducing their late night munchie boxes.
The munchie boxes.
Which really, any restaurant that's open past 10 o'clock should have stoner items on the menu.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Which they do, but they don't call it that.
Yeah. Oh, isn't Taco Bell now also called the munchie box, the $5, or is it the crunch box?
Yeah, they definitely have a crunch box.
Yeah.
But they, you know, they've got the Doritos Loco Taco Shell. They're innovators.
They
know?
Are innovators. That's why they're my favorite.
Yeah.
Thanks, Taco Bell.
Taco Bell rules.
Grant Morrison is also getting into the TV world. Well, I guess he already did with Happy, but I don't like that show, so we're not going to talk about it. Brave New World is coming to an adaptation to USA. And he didn't write Brave New World, but he is going to produce this with, what's it? It's the Aldous Huxley.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The Aldous Huxley sort of dystopian future.
Right.
Often confused with 1984.
Right.
Because they're sort of similar
in a lot of ways.
They're,
yeah.
Very, like, same themes.
Yeah. So pick up a copy of that at Dark Carnival. Yeah,
it's good. And it's a quick read, too. It's like one of those cool short books.
Yeah, it's kind
of
like Hitchhiker's Guide. Not like theme wise, but like very short like that.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
easy to read.
You can read it in, 2 days.
Yeah. As long as you're not illiterate.
Yeah. Or one long plane ride. So
if you got a plane ride coming up, come pick that book up. It is satisfying and entertaining. That's going to be on USA.
Mm-hmm.
And we were kind of talking about it earlier. Like, it doesn't really matter, like, what network it's on. Because, like, everyone's like, ugh, USA.
And, yeah, everything's moved to streaming like, anyway.
What's on USA? A white collar?
Yeah. Up All Night? They're still doing the sexy movies late night? That was my main exposure. You remember that?
No.
That was my main exposure to USA. They would put on, like, not like the porn movies, but like those like weird 70s movies where it's like a comedy romp with lots of nudity.
Oh.
And they would, they had like a lady that was like sort of like an Elvira type character, but like fun.
Uh-huh.
And they would do like back-to-back screenings of those, but heavily edited.
Yeah.
But still, as like, as a 10-year-old, like, well, you're not going to get much better than that.
Yeah,
so I vividly remember watching Up All Night all the time. And the lady would go, Up All Night. That was like her catchphrase.
No, I do not remember that.
Oh, man. It was there was one about the whole movie was people who like vans versus people who like trucks. It was a big van-truck rivalry, and there was a big scene where they had a tug of war in a river, and a lady's shirt got wet, and you could see her nipples, and I was like,
Did they edit that?
No.
No, you got to see that part?
You got to see a little bit of
Hell
through the shirt nip, yeah.
I do remember watching Red Shoe Diaries when I
totally.
Wasn't supposed
to.
That I remember. I had something else
that
was important.
New,
There was more stuff.
Alita Battle Angel's out.
Yeah, Alita Battle Angel. Why have they reversed that? What was wrong with Battle Angel Alita? Didn't that sound better?
I think it does flow a little better.
Yeah, I don't understand that they messed that all up.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's very mixed reviews on that, I think.
Yep, the good reviews that I've heard say it's fun to watch. Frank Cho said that it was a fun watch. My friend Hayden said that it was pretty good.
It was a fun watch. Thanks, Frank Cho, for that
titillating
review.
Yeah, he said it was fine.
Absolutely. I don't want to see that. I think I'm just going to be so disappointed.
Yeah.
I'll wait for it to come out on video and then be disappointed then.
Yeah.
I thought this was pretty big news. Hulu has formed a partnership with Marvel. I mean, they already kind of had one with Runaways.
Oh, right.
But they formed an even tighter partnership now that Netflix and Marvel have dissolved.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that Marvel hasn't really gotten that Disney, like, network down yet.
Yeah.
Because I thought that was coming out real soon. Because they are going to be doing 3 or 4 shows: Howard the Duck, Hit Monkey, MODOK, and the Dazzler and Tigra show.
Sweet.
That series is going to be called The Offenders.
Okay. That'll be fun.
Yeah. And Kevin Smith is writing Howard the Duck series.
That's a good fit for him. I'm not always a huge fan of Kevin Smith's contemporary works, but he's got a thing that he's good at, and I think that's a good fit.
I think he can actually write television still. Oh, and it's with Aqua Teen Hunger Force's co-creator Dave Willis, which is even better.
Sweet. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not going to be a cartoon. It's going to be live action, which might be a little weird. And we know we've seen Howard the Duck in some weird situations. Live action, like sex with humans. Fucking weird.
Why would they be attracted to each other?
I don't know.
He would be grossed out by humans and our weird, smooth, pink skin.
Yeah.
Like, gross, dude.
And where is he going to put that cloaca? Ew.
Yeah. Yeah, that wouldn't work physically.
It doesn't work. I don't know. Yeah, that freaks me out. But maybe he won't be attracted to humans. Maybe he'll be just attracted to other ducks.
Yeah.
But like regular sized ducks?
Oh, interesting. Well, that wouldn't work either.
Because
he's like a full size.
Yeah.
But I think he would find a regular duck more attractive than he would find a human.
I agree.
Because it's closer to what his home planet's beauty standards are.
Do you think he likes duck porn?
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably just goes to the park and watches ducks. Gross, Howard.
The, like, form of bestiality?
Kind of.
Or like, I don't know.
Although maybe he would look at ducks the same way we look at like baboons and chimpanzees.
That's what I was thinking.
They're kind of like us.
Some kind of bestiality.
But yeah, not the same.
Not the same.
Not the same at all.
That took a dark turn.
Yeah.
Anyways, I'm looking forward to these Hulu shows.
Yeah, it should be fun, man.
Yeah. The Dazzler and Tigra show sounds interesting and also very strange.
Yeah.
I don't know. Tigra. They're going to have to figure out a way to get her costume not really fucked up and weird.
Yeah. Is she going to be covered in fur also?
Yeah, because she has two different forms.
Yeah, she has the hairy, more animal one.
Yeah.
And then she has the one where she's just a sexy lady, but her skin is orange and has black stripes.
Exactly.
And she has claws also, I guess.
Yeah. And then she has a human form, too.
Oh, that's right.
She could transform.
She was a person.
Really?
She could transform on her own?
Yeah.
I thought that was like an involuntary, she got turned into a tiger lady situation.
She has a couple different weird backstories.
Okay.
We have her first appearance over here somewhere.
Yeah, that was one. I just rebagged that earlier today.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
We should probably take that and put it somewhere.
Oh, right. Good call.
Because I bet people are going to look for that.
People are going to be slyly asking for that comic.
Slyly asking for it. Also, Terminator sequel has a working title now.
Sweet.
Dark Half or Dark Fate.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it immediately follows the events of Terminator 2.
Yeah, so they like just cut all that other crap out.
Okay.
It's going to be following that. Terminator 2, no more Terminator 3, Linda Hamilton, Arnold Schwarzenegger. I think we've talked about that before. Mm-hmm. There's also some other lady in this picture.
Yeah, who maybe is another Terminator in the same...
Maybe. She's got a pipe in her hand.
Yeah, and she's tall. She's very tall.
Very tall. Who is that? She looks really familiar.
Which you would think if you're building... Because the point of the Terminators was to both be like combat robots and like spy/infiltration robots.
Right.
So why would you make your spy/infiltration robots be the most conspicuous looking people of all time?
Exactly.
Like nobody's going to be like Arnold Schwarzenegger walks into a room and everybody's just like, oh, another regular person.
Yeah.
Just like me.
He looks just like me.
Yeah. And this is not noticeable at all. I'm going to go about my business.
That's why Robert...
Yeah, T2, T1000.
Yeah, T1000. Yeah. He looked normal.
Yeah,
like he looked like a cop.
Yeah,
sure, but
and I guess that the T1 or whatever, the Arnold Schwarzenegger model, was the combat model. So it makes sense that they would make them be scary, like intimidating looking.
Right, right. And he had a big ectoskeleton.
Yeah,
whatever,
but at that point, why not just make him full on robot? Why cover him in skin and tissue? You know.
Yeah, well, because they did want to make him. They do explain that in Terminator.
Okay.
Yeah. They did want to make him like be able to assimilate with humans. And,
okay.
But yeah. But the Robert. Oh my God. Why am I blanking on his name? Robert. Robert. Did I say Robert?
Robert
times?
Altman?
No. I want to say Robert Pattinson because we keep, we're going to talk about him in a second. But
Robert
that's
Rodriguez.
Definitely not Robert Rodriguez. We just talked about Battle Angel Lita. Oh my God. That's going to drive me nuts. Okay. Anyways. Well, we'll talk about Batman next instead, and maybe I'll just blurt it out. So Robert Pattinson from Twilight, the sparkly vampire, has been rumored to be maybe the next Batman.
Come on.
I can't believe they're actually going to do that. I think the fan outlash is going to just be insane if that happens.
Get John Hamm.
Get John Hamm.
John Hamm would be absolutely perfect.
Be the Hamm.
And he wants to do it.
He does want to do it. And he's older and distinguished, and he'd just be the best Bruce Wayne.
He would.
I think Robert Pattinson looks more like Robin at this point. Like, maybe he'd be a good Nightwing.
Yeah. Or if they're doing like another. I hope
Nightwing.
They don't. I hope they don't do another like origin story and like Batman's first adventures thing. But if they do, I guess his age would work.
It's like, string me up now. Yeah. No more origin stories. Stop it.
Didn't Spider-Man Homecoming prove that we don't have to do origin stories anymore?
Exactly.
Like, everyone knows how it happened. And if you don't know how it happened, then go see the movie and then be like, what happened before this? And then go to a comic store and find out what happened before that.
Yeah, come to us. We'll be happy to help you.
Well, there's 40 different origin stories for everybody now.
No, he doesn't need it. Do we have to see him go fight on a mountain again, like in the snow? I don't want to see that again.
Yeah. I don't need to see Thomas and Martha Wayne get murdered again.
No, I've seen it.
Three times.
Yeah, at least. And then you could just go watch it again. If you forgot, like go back and watch Batman Begins or watch Batman 1989.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. It's
just
like,
establish,
he dies.
Just
they
start
die.
With him already being Batman.
Yeah, I don't think we need to do that. I think they have a title for that movie already, too, and they don't have an actor. It's crazy. Or maybe they do, and they just don't want to tell us because they don't want people to be pissed off about it.
Yeah.
That's probably really what it is. There's also an Aladdin trailer out. It looks terrible.
Yikes, dude.
Oh, that Will Smith looks so bad as the genie. I don't know why.
Why do that? Why are they remaking Aladdin as a live-action movie?
It doesn't need to be a live-action movie. It doesn't. The cartoon's so great. Speaking of things that are great that don't need to be remade.
It's perfect,
That's a perfect movie. Maybe it has some problematic things in it now, but it's so great, it doesn't matter.
It is Robin Williams kind of doing a black guy voice the entire time.
Is it? I was just talking about some of the other weird things in it, but...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They had to change the opening song.
Did they?
Yeah, because they took out the part where they say they'll cut off your hand if they don't like your face.
Really?
Because some Middle East, like Arab people got mad and were like, hey, man, this
but
is painting our culture.
But didn't they used to do that?
Yeah, they still do. In Saudi Arabia, you get your hand chopped off for stealing.
Oh.
So.
Yeah, I know. I don't understand why. Okay.
Yeah.
No. I just thought that stuff where they said, like, take off your clothes. Do you remember that?
Oh, right. Was that true?
That actually happen? I had the videotape.
Oh,
and
weird.
You can actually rewind it and hear it.
Huh.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah, they should edit that part out, I guess.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
Okay.
Definitely problematic.
Yeah.
They shouldn't do that. And then there was the part. Oh, no, that was in The Lion King where you could see sex in the sand.
And wasn't there, like, on some of the VHS cases for The Little Mermaid, the towers in the background
looked
like penises?
Yeah, and also the priest would get a boner.
Oh, really? Gross.
Yeah. Those are all in that, for real.
Hey, Disney.
Yeah, Disney's messed up.
Yeah.
And on that note, I got to go.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you got to get to the brewery, right?
I do have to get to the brewery. So... come by and see me there. Oh, wait. This isn't live.
Yeah. Well, still do sometime.
Yeah, you should definitely go have a beer.
Yeah.
And come by the store.
Come by the comic book store, then go have a beer.
Yeah.
Or go get super drunk, then come to the store.
Wait, don't do that.
Yeah, don't do that.
Don't do that. But I've been Jessica Balboni.
Hey, I'm Jesse.
Do you have any plugs?
Not really. I got a couple new weekly shows in the works that'll be happening in Oakland in the near future. But I got to wait until we get the day and time locked down before I release that information publicly. I don't want to jinx it.
Working
with a couple cool new venues and hopefully getting 2 to 3 either weekly or monthly shows going pretty soon.
Oh, yeah. And I'll be in Seattle at Emerald City Comic Con. And I guess I'm doing like a live show there.
Ooh, sweet.
For Comedio, I guess.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. So come see me in Seattle if you're in Seattle.
Yeah.
Cool. Oh, March 16th.
Okay.
Hey,
that's my brother's birthday.
Oh, cool. I'll talk about it more as it comes back. All right, cool.
All right, bye, everybody.
Bye.